Welcome to The Schmooze with Rabbi Mintz, rabbi at Congregation Beth Israel and co-director of Chabad of Forsyth, Dawson, and Lumpkin with his wife, Chaya. The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at theschmooze@jewishforsyth.org. Now, let's get schmoozing with Rabbi Mintz and his co-host, Tim House, on North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN.
Hey, good morning, folks. Glad you're joining us on The Schmooze. Rabbi Levi Mintz is here this morning. Hey, Rabbi, how are you?
Thank God, Tim. Doing great. It's wonderful to be together with you on The Schmooze. How are you doing?
Doing well. Good to see you again. Yes. We've got a big show today.
Oh, yeah.
And we also, I guess, you kind of need to give us the current events. What's going on?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you got to hold on. Take out the seatbelt. Lock yourself in. Take out a pen and paper because there's so much happening in Jewish life in North Georgia, and especially at Congregation Beth Israel, your local Jewish synagogue, your home where the doors are wide open every day with unconditional love and acceptance. But, you know, Tim, Passover's coming in 3 weeks. Could you imagine? And there are three major Passover-focused events. Number one, there's going to be the outdoor family matzah bakery. That's right. You got to come with your family outdoors where we are going to recreate the matzah bakery experience. And we're going to be going from the beginning all the way to the end, from the wheat turning it into flour, the entire process, learning how matzah is made in just 18 minutes. I got to tell you, this is one of the most exciting ways to get our families ready for Passover. So just go to jewishforsyth.org and RSVP your family today for the outdoor family matzah bakery. Number two, what we have is the community Passover Seder. So it's limited space. It's going to be outdoors. And but yes, last year, sadly, we were not able to host a community Seder, but thank God things have developed and things have changed, and now we are able to come together as a community and celebrate the Seder. And let me tell you something, Tim, you know, we've done the Seders together. There is nothing like a Beth Israel Seder, the joy, the happiness. It's uplifting. It's meaningful. It's just really a fantastic, real full Passover experience. It's always amazing. And it's going to be Saturday night, at the last week of March, the first night of Passover. Just once again, go to jewishforsyth.org, limited space. It's outdoor, so really, if you're planning on joining, do it today. Just go to jewishforsyth.org. And finally, Tim, with the Passover-related content, is that all of the Passover services are going to be available this year. And you can go onto our website to see from the burning of the chametz, from the selling of the chametz, from the fast of the firstborn, from the finishing of the tractate to all of the services on Passover. I mean, literally, the whole shebang, everything. So just go to jewishforsyth.org and get a listing of all of the services and join us. And we got three and a half weeks to the holiday of our redemption. And this is amazing. And looking forward to celebrating with the entire community.
And folks, it'll run up on you before you know it. It'll be time, and you'll miss your opportunity.
It will pass over if you don't get on it, my friends. Now, Tim, I mean, before we go to the break, we really should speak about all of the developments of the synagogue, of the building. You know, I was speaking with someone yesterday, just, you know, real quickly, because I know the producer is wanting us to go to a break. But I was speaking with somebody. He says, this building, this Jewish community center, is the greatest product. I said, what are you talking about? It's the greatest product. He says, do you realize how this is going to radically transform Jewish life, not only for individuals, but for the community? I said, 100%. That's why we got this going. He's like, no, it just dawned on me. And it's true because, you know, you have a physical structure that's anchored, that's permanent, and it creates confidence. And all of a sudden, Jews that have not engaged in Jewish life will. Those that are already engaged in Jewish life now will redouble their efforts. You have a beautiful sanctuary, and imagine everything that comes from that place. What the Judaica store is, how it's going to influence. The kosher cafe, the preschool where our children are going to be educated, the Hebrew school. It's transformative when one truly starts it. The mikvah, for God's sakes. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so I agree. This is a project that is radically going to change our lives and the lives of our community. And now's the time to help make this a reality. We need, you know, the great joke, Tim, you know the great joke? Let me tell you the great joke. Basically, there was a rabbi that once stood up in front of his congregation. He says, I have good news and bad news. So, of course, you know, he asked, what do you want to hear first? And everyone wants to hear the good news first, always. So the rabbi said, the good news is that we have all the funds in order to build the synagogue that we've been dreaming for. The bad news is that it's still in your pockets.
Oh, there we go.
You understand? This is, right? So I was speaking to a rabbi from Arizona the other day, and he tells me, he says that he got a $2 million grant when they were building their synagogue. So it was Rosh Hashanah. He stands in front of the community, and he's all excited about sharing with the community about this unbelievable gift. I mean, $2 million to get things rolling? This is wild.
Wow.
So he stands up and he says, at the end of his sermon, and everyone's listening, he says, I would like to share with you all the good news that this individual, and he said the name, just contributed $2 million. And he's in the middle of saying a sentence, but when he says contributed $2 million, he literally sees everyone in the congregation like almost jumping out of their seats with excitement of what this means, like an out-of-body experience. And then he finishes the sentence, a $2 million matching donation. And when he said the word matching, all of a sudden, everyone was like hiding under the chairs, looking for a place for cover. You know what I'm saying? It was like the Third World War is starting. They're running for water, for food, for ammunition, protection. They're trying to find an underground bunker over here. You know, the synagogue had no basement, so they didn't know what to do. My dear friends, it's exciting times. Go to OurVibrantFuture.com, OurVibrantFuture.com. God has blessed us all with amazing financial blessings. It can be $1, it can be $1 million, or somewhere in between. But now's the time to give generously. Go to OurVibrantFuture.com and give as much as you are able to make this amazing dream that will impact generations to come a reality.
And Rabbi, have we got any bricks left? I know we've got to go to a break, but have we got any bricks left?
100%. There are still bricks left, so now's the time to buy them and engrave your family's names on it so that you're able to anchor you, your family, and your loved ones in this incredible project for generations.
For the generations and for the future. Folks,
yes.
We'll be right back.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
Rabbi, I know we're building the new synagogue in the Jewish Life Center there in Forsyth County, and I talked to a fellow the other day who has to go to New York, buy all these kosher meats, and every month has to bring them back. You think there'll be an opportunity there at the synagogue where we might be able to have that available for our congregation or anybody else that wants?
100%. 100%. Obviously, we're going to have the kosher cafe and the kosher deli.
Right.
And we're also going to be having a loading dock, which is going to allow kosher wholesalers to be able to come with great product from Miami and from New York so that community members could put it in order and really get top-tier stuff by the case, which I'm thrilled about. And on top of that, this is a great opportunity to tell all of our listeners to pick up the phone or write an email to the Kroger on Bethelview. The Kroger on Bethelview around the corner from the synagogue headquarters, Kroger headquarters, has shared with us that Kroger has been identified to be able to start carrying a very large kosher many kosher items to have an expanded kosher section. And of course, the only thing that's getting in the way is them hearing from us, from the local Jewish community, our interest. So I highly, highly encourage, please give a call, write an email to the Kroger at Bethelview that we're ready to rock and roll. And very soon, God willing, we are going to see the kosher opportunities go through the roof locally.
That's great. I also might mention that the Ingalls in Dawsonville there at Highway 53 has a kosher section.
Fantastic.
And they've had it for several years.
Amazing.
Now, it's time to ask the rabbi.
If you will forgive their sin, and if not, obliterate me from your book that you have written. And it comes out of Exodus 32:32. And I guess the question then comes is, how can we use this quote in our daily lives?
The idea is that you know, for those who are a little need a little bit more familiarity with the story, is that the Jewish people were taken out of Egypt. They were shown incredible amount of miracles, the 10 plagues, the splitting of the sea. They're standing at Mount Sinai, and after God has the moment of revelation and they're waiting for the tablets to come down from on top of the mountain, all of a sudden, the Jewish people, they build a golden calf, which is a cardinal sin, which is, you know, spiritual infidelity. God Almighty, I took you out from the land to be for me a people, and now you're serving idolatry, you're dancing around a golden calf. And so what did God do?
He's going to destroy them all.
Exactly. God said that he wants to destroy the entire Jewish people and start a new nation with Moses. And Moses says, if you're going to destroy the Jewish people, then take me out of your Torah. Take me out of your book. Take me out of your book. And, you know, essentially what's going on over here is fascinating, is that, remember, Moses was the one who broke the tablets, which we're going to have to get to a little bit later. Moses is the one who broke the tablets. Nevertheless, when he hears from God that that the Jewish people, they got to go. I can't deal with them anymore. We're starting a new nation from you. Moses tells God, take me out of your Torah. Because essentially, what was Moses appreciating at that moment? Moses was appreciating that, yes, many of times in relationships, there can be moments where there's infidelity. When there's moments where all of a sudden the trust is broken, where all of a sudden, how can we continue together? What's going on? The trust is completely broken. And all of a sudden, both parties turn opposite ways. How is one able to truly forgive? How is one able to give a process for atonement, for recovery, for rehabilitation? This can only happen if an individual is ready to focus at the essence of the other individual. Stop judging them based on their actions, meaning I recognize the actions, but I'm ready to go deeper. I'm ready to go to the essence. I believe that at the core and at the essence of my partner, this individual, they are good and that they are interested in being loyal and being committed and being one. And if one is able to dig so deep, to go to that essential place, that's from that space where all of a sudden forgiveness can be born. That's where rehabilitation, the opportunity for it, can be born. And Moses was telling God, take me out of your Torah. Your Torah is your rules and your regulations, which the Jewish people broke. But your bond with the essence of the Jew is much deeper than even the laws and regulations of the Torah. And Moses was trying to reveal that to God. Don't forget about the essential connection that you have. And when God heard this, God took to it. And all of a sudden, he started to think about the essential connection that God has with the Jewish people. And all of a sudden, when God saw that essence, the soul that's never damaged, never destroyed, essentially is always whole and complete, all of a sudden, what did God say? Wow, we can begin a process of rehabilitation. We can now begin a process of atonement. And this was the great insight, innovation that Moses really brought to God, so to speak, which is unbelievable. And I think the lesson that we can learn from this is that many times in our own personal relationships, there are very, very difficult moments. Very difficult moments where we see another person doing things or creating actions that create the trust that we have. And we wonder, how can this relationship move on? And ultimately, the only way there can be rehabilitation, the only way we can move forward, is if the individual who has been broken is able to find an essential place, a deep space within the individual, which is much deeper and whole than the mistakes that they made. And if they're able to find that space, then they'll be able to rebuild from that whole space that's within the essence of the other individual. And if one is able to identify that space, then the process of forgiveness and atonement can become a reality.
Powerful, powerful message for all of us. Folks, we're doing it again. We'll be right back.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
To life, L'chaim, 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 to life.
Hey, folks, we're back at it again. We've got a lot of deep content this morning. Stay on the edge of the seat. Rabbi.
But don't fall off.
No, please don't fall off.
Okay. You know, Tim, I would like to, you know, this segment of L'chaim to life, infusing life into life, I want to continue speaking about this idea because we can learn an incredible, incredible idea that can absolutely radicalize and change the life that we live in really properly understanding this visual. The Jewish people are standing at Sinai. God Almighty presents the Torah, the Ten Commandments. We know that the Torah is God's prized gift. It's the greatest thing. It's where God puts his essence into these words, which give direction for humanity forever to how to live an elevated and a moral life. This is like the covenant between the Jewish people and God. The Torah. All of a sudden, Moses comes down. And he sees the infidelity that's going on. He sees the Jewish people that are dancing around the golden calf. And what does Moses do? He breaks the tablets. What does that mean to him? You know, a lot of husbands and wives, they get mad. And it could be that maybe the husband or the wife just bought a really expensive gift. They don't break the gift. If the gift won't be given anymore, they go and return it and get the money back. Why does Moses take the tablets and shatter it and break it on the floor? This is God's word. This is the Ten Commandments. I understand that what he sees on the ground is horrible, but why shatter the tablets? Why break it? What's even more confusing is that it seems that these shattered tablets really are the representation of this grave, grave sin that the Jewish people did, this major low moment. What happens with the tablets? What happens with the tablets is shocking. They are placed in the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies in the sanctuary, and then eventually in the temple. Why would Moses take the shattered tablets, which is the embodiment of the worst of all sins, and take it and bring it into the holiest place within the Jewish tradition, in the Holy of Holies, in the Ark of the Covenant? Alongside what would be eventually the second tablets. Why would the Jewish people, why would Moses want to hold on to this? Even more so, in the Jewish tradition, whenever the Jews would go out to battle, they would carry with them the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant would lead the way. And what did the Jews bring along with the Ark of the Covenant? The shattered tablets. The shattered tablets is the reflection and the example of the prosecutor. It's the story of how the Jewish people walked away from God. Why, when we're going out to war, when we need all of God's kindness, would we parade with the broken, shattered tablets as we're going to a war where we're hoping to be victorious? Comes along the second set of tablets, and an interesting thing happens. When God brings with Moses the second tablets, what does God tell Moses? The words, Asher kochecha sheshibarta. I want to tell you, thank you. You did a good job for destroying the first set of tablets. Moses wonders why, because you could imagine probably what Moses was thinking. Why? He says, because the first set of tablets, all you got was the Torah. You got all the what? But with the second set of tablets, says the Talmud, I included in it all of the homiletical teachings, all of the agadic teachings, and all the mystical inner dimensions of the Torah. And you are getting all of this now with the second set of tablets that wasn't included in the first. So the obvious question, Tim, is that if all of this great blessing came about with the first set of tablets, why have to go through this whole ordeal? Why didn't God give all of this unlimited source of Torah the very first time when the first set of tablets were given? Why did it only come about by the second set of tablets? And Tim, the explanation to all of this is so powerful. And it is something that I think we could all relate and we need to bring into our lives. You see, there's a fascinating thing, Tim. All of us, naturally, were physical limited beings. And because of that, we're very much limited. We're limited in our emotions, and we're limited in our intellect. We're limited in the way we see the world. And whether we like it or not, we are all impacted by our past. We're impacted by our childhood. We're impacted by our marriages. We're impacted by our businesses. All of our experiences completely impact our framework, the way we look at the world. We're almost like a used piece of parchment that we're trying to write new stories on. And what happens many of times is that it's very hard for us to learn new tricks. It's very hard for us to learn new ideas, to have new perspectives. We just find ourselves going through the exact same motions over and over and over again. And even though we may hear a new idea, a new innovation, a new concept, but we're so limited and impacted the way our mind has been programmed and has created this limited box within ourselves, all of a sudden we're really not able to get beyond ourselves. The I becomes our worst enemy. Our own natural limitations become our worst enemies. And what's fascinating is that the greatest key for development in life is sometimes to be able to be humbled, to be nullified, to even be broken. Because what happens during these moments of being broken, being challenged, being humbled, is that against our will, now all of a sudden we're faced with a moment that we shatter, we break. And now it lends us, possibly for the first opportunity in our life, that we can rebuild ourselves, but now rebuild ourselves in a way that we can thrive. You see, in life sometimes, Tim, we become so accustomed to the way life is, and we can't get out of that natural loop that's been predisposed for us, that all we do is become comfortable with survival. And even our next steps that we make is just another step in the same direction of survival. But the only way to truly maximize life and to stop surviving, but to start thriving, we need to be humbled. We need to be broken. We need to be shattered. And this shattering, although initially it seems like a very sad and difficult moment, but really it's the greatest opportunity where this individual now has no I. There are no longer predisposed dispositions. The individual is completely broken, and now there's an opportunity that they've never had before. They can rebuild. And now when there's an opportunity to rebuild, let's rebuild for the infinite. Let's build in the most maximized of all ways. When the first tablets came, let's be honest, the Jewish people, they were high in the sky. Everything was beautiful. Everything was working. The manna was there. The plagues were there. The sea was splitting. There was not a worry in the world. And let's be honest, with that came a good sense of healthy ego. And with that comes the sad reality that we get stuck in ourselves. Everything is limited. And the first set of tablets came and they were what they were. And with that ego, no, it's not a secret that the Jewish people engaged in a golden calf thereafter. But by the breaking of the tablets, this gave the greatest blessing that now the Jewish people can now touch infinity. The reason why the second tablets, when they came with all of the additional infinite wisdom of the Torah, is only because they came after the shattering. Because when Moses shattered the tablets, it shattered the hearts of the Jews for them to witness, for them to come face to face with their reality. And it was because of the shattering, because of this humility, that it allowed the second tablets to come and be presented. Infinity only comes with humility. The greatest gift of life that every person has been given is the gift of a humble and a broken heart. And there is nothing more full than a broken heart. My dear friends, I'm sure all of us have experienced challenges on some level and in some way. We may feel even right now like our own tablets has been shattered. But listen to the call, hear the message, and take hold of the great opportunity. Now's a time to rebuild, but now rebuild from scratch and rebuild a life that you will thrive, thrive towards infinity.
Wow, powerful message this morning, Rabbi. Have a good week. We'll talk in a day or something.
And never forget, L'chaim to life. Always infuse life into life.
The Shmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful Shmooze.
To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at theschmooze@jewishforsife.org.